Bible, open it up to Proverbs chapter 3. That'll probably be the first verse that we go to this morning. As you know, I'm doing this series called To Know and Understand Wisdom. It's a study of Proverbs. And basically, we're just going topically through Proverbs. I've done this before, and we'll probably visit it again because there's probably about 100 topics in the book of Proverbs. So that's kind of where we are. And you'll see, as some points come up on the screen, you'll see some verse addresses there. So those are all from Proverbs because I move rather quickly through a lot of the verses. Before I pray, I just want to remind you, the chairs just do need to be stacked up after the service for ministries that are going on this week, including Kids Club, Youth Ministry, and the Ladies Night as well. So if you can stack those up, if you can do us a favor, if you're going to stack it in front of the window, just make sure the window's closed, because then it becomes a kind of a pain to move it and close the window. So that's pretty much it as far as announcements go. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here. I'm thankful for your word and for the wisdom that you give us through it. I just pray now that as we continue to learn from the book of Proverbs, the wisdom that you have for us, that we would take your wise counsel and put it into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 1 kind of starts off with a call to wisdom. And in that call, it reminds the reader that when we ignore wisdom and when we ignore good decisions and when we ignore sound reason, things will not actually go well. And Proverbs 1, 25 through 26 says this: "Because you have ignored my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you." That sounds kind of mean, right? If that's God saying that, that sounds kind of mean. Like, I'm going to laugh that you made a bad decision. I'm going to mock you when you ignored wisdom. But actually, that's not God speaking as much as it's wisdom personified, meaning this: it's written as if wisdom was a person. So when we are counseled to make right decisions and right choices, when we're counseled to do the right thing and we turn our back on it and make a bad decision, here's what's going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. Consequences are going to ensue in our lives. And what happened is like, it's like the wise counsel, the wisdom's kind of standing there saying, "Yeah, I told you so." Have you ever had a situation in life like that where you made a bad or wrong decision, but someone or something kind of said in your heart, like, "That's not a good decision," but you're like, "I'm just going to do what I want to do." And then all of a sudden you do what you want to do. And then you look back and it's kind of like, that's what I should have done. And it's kind of like that decision, that wisdom's kind of like mocking in a sense and laughing, like, "I told you so." Maybe you grew up in an environment like that. Maybe your parents were like that. "I told you so. And let me just tell you, parents, that's not the best way to handle it. There's a way to say that, but in a more graceful and gracious type of way. But the point here is this: when we ignore wisdom and when we ignore good decisions and sound reason, what's going to happen is it's not going to go the way that we desire it to go. So the purpose of the Proverbs, as we've discussed, is to know and to understand wisdom. So we want to know wisdom. We want the head knowledge, but we also want to understand it, to put it into our lives. And Proverbs 19:20 says this: "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." So now the idea here is this: we listen to wise counsel so that we're prepared to make future decisions when issues arise. So basically, our learning is something that we're supposed to keep in our heart and keep in our mind so that when we have decisions or issues that come up, we're able to make wise decisions. So whether it be that you make a mistake because you ignored wisdom and then you say something like, "I'm never going to do that again." Okay, has anybody ever did that? You make a mistake and then you're like, "I learned from that. I'm never going to do that again." Or you are just paying close attention to realize that, you know what? Everything that I learn will be useful and helpful to me in the future for future decisions and issues. And when we look at the Proverbs, really, remember, it starts off, it's a father talking to a son. It's a father talking to a son saying, basically, like, here's the wisdom, here's the understanding. You're going to use this in your life. Things are going to come up in your life. And you know what? It's funny because as we grow older, we gain more wisdom from learning more, from hearing more, from studying more, from experiencing more. I mean, I remember when I was like 14, 15 years old, you know, I would think about something like parenting and think, that's never going to happen to me. I'm like 15 years old. I'm never going to have kids of my own. You just think of these things when you're younger and as you go through. So here's the point. Here's what you want to do. You want to listen to this wise counsel so that when the decisions and issues come up, you're prepared to take those things and make wise, godly decisions. But you know what? According to Health and Wellness magazine, there are top 10 reasons why people go for counseling, professional counseling. And sometimes in life, you will need to go to see maybe a professional counselor because of issues and things that you're dealing with. But here are the top 10 reasons of people surveyed why they actually go to counseling. And the first one is for major life decisions. The second one is depression. The third one is anxiety. The fourth is anger management. The fifth is blended family issues. The sixth are parental concerns. The seventh are addictions. The eighth is grief and loss. The ninth is eating disorders. And the tenth is lack of self-esteem. Now, some of you might have heard that list and said, check, 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 check. Okay, I need help in all those areas. But many people seek professional counseling for various reasons, but most of us would agree if the number one reason of this top 10 list are major life decisions, what we can all agree on is we can get wise counsel just from the people around us. God has equipped us with people around us and something very important, which is His Word, to actually deal with these major life decisions. And I'm not saying don't ever go to counseling, and I'm not saying you have to go to counseling. What I am saying is this. There's going to be decisions and issues that come up, and if they're major life decisions, many times we have the people around us and the resources in our hand to actually make good and wise and godly decisions. So then the question becomes, where do we go for this wise counsel? Where do we go for this wise counsel? And normally, the first thing we do when we're faced with an issue or a decision is what? We trust our own judgment. We go to ourselves. We try to figure things out. Most of you would agree, right? You try to figure that out. So we trust our own judgment. But the question then becomes, should we trust our own judgment? Should you trust your own judgment? And I would say this. I would say yes and no, okay? Yes and no. And some of you are like, okay, where's he going with this? Well, the yes is this. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of a person plans their ways, but the Lord establishes their steps. So now what we have to realize through this verse is God gives us the mental capabilities to actually make plans and decisions, right? God, we're all capable of this. We're all capable of making plans and decisions. So the heart of a person plans their ways, but the Lord establishes their steps. Do you know who has ultimate veto power of any decision that you make in your life? It's the Lord, okay? It's the Lord. You can plan, and some of us plan, plan, plan. Some of you plan, plan, plan. And then all of a sudden, the plan changes. How many times does the plan change? Who knows? But for some of you, the plan has changed a lot. You were like, this was never the plan. This is not, and I didn't want this to be the plan, but guess what? The Lord has veto power, and the Lord directs the steps. So I believe that when we're faced with issues and a decision that needs to be made, when we rely on ourselves, it's not wrong to rely on ourselves because we care about ourselves. We love ourselves. We want the best for ourselves. But sometimes it is not good to trust our own judgment. Let me say that again. Sometimes it is not good to trust our own judgment. Here's why. Listen to what Proverbs 28:26 says. Proverbs 28:26 says this, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. That's not nice. That's not a nice verse here. Whoever trusts in their own mind is a fool. Why in the world would the scriptures say, if you trust in your own mind, you're a fool? And here are some of the reasons that I came up with that I believe that the scriptures tell us this. The first is we allow our emotions to overtake us. Have you ever had a situation where you're so emotionally charged about it that your emotions overtake any type of sound reason? Have you ever had that? Have you ever had your emotions just overtake you in a situation where it was so hard for you to clearly make a wise decision? Wisdom went out the window. Emotions took control. Well, the truth be told is this. When that happens, when our emotions overtake us, we can't trust ourselves. Have you ever confronted anybody for it? Have you ever had a situation where, you know what, I have to talk to this person and your emotions overtake you? And you know what, you've subscribed to the new way of communication, which are things like email and text message. Because people don't talk to people face-to-face as much anymore, right? I believe if you have a real issue with somebody, you should really talk to them face-to-face. But let's just say that you're not there yet. So you decide, I'm going to email this person or I'm going to text that person. And guess what happens? You do that, you blow up, and it just escalates the situation. Well, here's what I would suggest to you. If that's you, here's what I would suggest. If you're going to write that email or write that text message, write it. Like, let's just say the night before. Write that out. Don't send it. Save it to your inbox. Save it. Don't send it. Go to sleep. Get up the next morning and read it again. I can almost guarantee that a lot of times you're going to read that again, and you're going to be like, wow, that was pretty rough. Man, I was pretty mean in that situation. Like, whew, I'm glad I didn't send that. Because what happens when our emotions overtake us, it causes us to do things that are not going to be helpful. I would suggest even this. If you're planning on face-to-face confronting someone, even write that out on a piece of paper and sleep on it and then read it again and see what you think of what you had to say at that time. See, it's foolish for us to only trust our own mind because our emotions can overtake us. The second reason why I believe that that the Proverbs call us fools in this situation is this. We tend to be uninformed. A lot of times, we are uninformed about the whole of the situation. No one knows everything, okay? So if we just look to ourselves to figure out the problems and the issues, here's what happens. We'll be uninformed in certain areas. We'll be uninformed. The third reason why I think the Bible calls us fools on this is because we did not go to God. If you just stay within yourself and you're not going to the God of this world, if you're not going to the God of the Bible, if you're not going to our loving Savior, here's what happens. You make yourself out as a fool. You think that you know something that you might not know. So I don't believe that we're always a fool when we trust ourselves, but we can be foolish by only looking to ourselves when making decisions or confronted with issues. Here's what happens. Here's the trap for us. We're so convinced with the decision of the issue that we're facing that we forget that we're emotionally attached to it. We start to ignore information that's needed, and we actually ignore counsel from God. So now listen to what Proverbs 12:15 says. 12:15 says this. Here's really the essence of this trap that you fall into. The way of the fool is right in their own eyes. You're convinced now. Have you ever been there? I am 100% convinced that I'm right. And then you find out you're not. It was a bad decision. You're wrong. But the way of the fool is right in their own eyes. But a wise person listens to advice. That's what the scriptures say. A wise person listens to advice. So we get the point here is we start to not be able to see anything else but our own way, our own decision, and our own opinion. We're wise in our own eyes. This is the way it is. Have you ever dealt with somebody like that? They're tough. Have you ever been somebody like that? You become tough. But interestingly enough, in those last two Proverbs that I read to you, Proverbs 28:26, it says this, wisdom delivers us. Proverbs 12:15 says pretty much wise people listen to others with wisdom. So here's the idea here. Here's the idea. When we go to try to figure it out ourselves, we're not going to be delivered because we don't have the wisdom all the time to be delivered. And not only that, we have not looked outside of ourselves at all. But you know what? Sometimes we start to ask ourselves questions like, who can I trust? Who can I listen to? Who can I listen to? And sometimes we listen to the wrong people. And when we listen to the wrong people and get burnt, we stop listening to people, right? Listen to what the Proverbs say about listening to the wrong person. Proverbs 25:19 says this, trusting in a treacherous person in a time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. Anybody ever have a bad tooth before? You go to the dentist, you know, that sensitive tooth. And you go to the dentist, they take that nice little instrument there, that hook, right? And they stick it in each tooth. You know, you're like, what are you doing? And, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but even if I have a cavity, it is a little cavity, I'm kind of like, almost like maybe they won't find it. I don't know why that thought goes through my head. And then they crunch down on that tooth with that hook. And I'm like, oh, and you're like, you all right? You're like, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, because I'm afraid of the whole like drilling process and all that stuff. Well, maybe not afraid. I just rather not. So the point here is this. If you ever had a bad tooth, you know that feeling. It's terrible because it's like, oh, I got to get this taken care of. I don't want to get this taken care of. But I need to get this taken care of because it hurts. Or if you fall, a foot that slips. Nobody likes to fall. Nobody likes to slip. So what the scripture is saying here is if we go to the wrong people, here's the result. It's like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. So we can all agree, I think, at this point, that we're going to need wise counsel at some point in our life. We're going to need wise counsel at some point in our life. And Proverbs 20:18 says this, plans are established by counsel. Plans are established by counsel. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at pretty much three people, so to speak, that we can trust when we're trying to make wise decisions, when we're trying to actually go through life and deal with issues that come up. So the first and obvious one would be Jesus. Who can we trust? The first is Jesus. Now turn to Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. I did a whole sermon on Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. But Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 really helps us to understand who we really need to trust first and foremost. Verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So there's a strike against us, okay? Trust in the Lord, don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. There's another strike against us. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So here's what this scripture is saying. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Here's what this is really telling us. When you are faced with an issue, a problem, or a decision, the first place you need to go is to the Lord. Okay, you need to go to him in prayer. And many of you know how to do that. You know how to pray. That's kind of, in some senses, the easy part. Lord, help me in this. Lord, I don't know what to do. The problem that many of you face is, I don't know what his answer is. I'm wondering if he is going to audibly speak or how is he going to show me? But I really, truly believe this. When we're praying, we need to be praying along with looking and studying into the scriptures to find out what the scriptures have for us. But now some people take this to a weird place, okay? And they call what I call Bible roulette, okay? And they're like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then they flip open the Bible and they read a passage and they're like, whoa, I don't think that's what he wants me to do. Because they just pick out, they play roulette, they just pick out what they think that the Lord has to say to them just by flipping open the Bible. But that's not how it works. Okay, here's how it works. We study and pray in God's word. We find out what God has to say for each situation. We live in an amazing time now. I'm going to give you two resources. You can write these down. Some of you already use those. The one is on the internet. It's called thebiblegateway.com. You can type in any word, a key word. So if you're dealing with an issue with parenting, with health, with a job, whatever it might be, you can type in a keyword and it will give you all the verses in the Bible that talk about that. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to look through some of those verses and some of them you're going to be like, that doesn't even make sense for my situation, or that doesn't seem to apply. But then you're going to see others where like, wow, there's a lot of wisdom for my situation with that Bible verse. And you're going to start to wade through and see what God has to say. Another great resource is on your smartphone. You can get the YouVersion Bible app, YOUVersion Bible app. And that you can also type in a keyword and find out. See, the importance is this. When you're praying to God on a decision or an issue, and then you're seeking counsel from his word, you're going to be weighing through the scriptures. Another thing that you can do, and I've talked about this so many times, is getting on some kind of daily Bible reading program, whether it be daily devotions with your little Our Daily Breads that we give out here at the church, or on the YouVersion Bible app, they have reading plans. The more you're involved in God's word, the more you'll see that it applies to your life. You know, it's always funny to me because people do this to me all the time. They're dealing with some huge issue, and then they read like Our Daily Bread one morning, and it seems to be talking just about what they're talking about. And they come to me and they're, Pastor Mike, this was amazing. I can't believe that it was talking about, what a coincidence. Well, let me just tell you, there is no coincidence. God was working through that to answer you, to help you. You'll be riding down the road and you'll listen to Christian radio and you'll hear like 40 seconds of the end of some pastor's sermon that you don't even know who the guy is. But those words happen to be the exact words that you needed at the exact time. It was like God was answering you through that pastor's message. Here's the point. We can trust Jesus through his word that he will give us the wisdom. But then some of you will kick back on that and you will say, how do I know that I could trust Jesus for that? And I'll tell you, here's how we can all know. Because he was willing to go to the cross for us. We trusted him for our salvation. See, the Bible tells us this, that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior who laid down his life for us on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. And the Bible says this, all who believe will have eternal life. So if you're wondering if you can trust Jesus with all the decisions and issues that come up, here's the thing. If you trust Jesus to save you, you can trust Jesus to deliver you in those situations and give you the wisdom that you need. After all, the scriptures do say, he who did not spare his own son, how will he not then also graciously give us all things? What that scripture is telling us is because Jesus saved us, we can trust him to work on all the things that we need. Not that he's going to give us everything we ever wanted, but that he's going to give us everything that we need to make it through this life. But see, if we just stay in ourselves when decisions and issues come up and we don't go to him first, it's not going to be good. I'm telling you, it's not going to be good. You might get it a time or two, but you know what? Through the long haul, you're going to find that you come up wanting. So first, we know we can trust Jesus. The second is trusting friends that show us love. Notice I added that show us love. And some of you might say, is it possible to have friends that don't show love? And I would ask you this question. You tell me. What are your friends like? Do they show you love? Are you 100% convinced that the friends that you are around really truly love you? And then some of you would say, "Well, how would I know if my friend says they love me? How do I really know that they love me?" And I know all of you here that were here last week remember the 3 points in how we communicate love from last week, correct? So I don't even have to go over that, right? You guys all remember that. Yeah. Well, let me just tell you this. I'll remind you, just in case you forgot, okay? The ways that we communicate love to other people are things that you have to look for in friends that show you love. And the first way, if you remember, were speaking words of life, meaning words that build other people up, that encourage other people, that communicate love to other people. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people in our lives that communicate words of death, which tear down, discourage, and are not really, truly 100% happy and loving towards another person. The second way that we communicate love is the willingness to forgive. the willingness to forgive. If you have a friend in your life that you've wronged, maybe they've wronged you, it's happened multiple times, but they still are willing to forgive you and you're willing to forgive them, that's a friend that sticks. A person that is willing to look over your faults. A person that you're willing to look over their faults and forgive their faults. Because guess what? If you have any relationship with any person in this world, there will always be an opportunity for you to have to forgive them at some point. So if you're looking for a friend that shows you love, they're the type of friend that's willing to forgive you. They're a type of friend that's willing to speak words of life into your life. And then finally, a friend that's willing to confront you when confrontation is needed. You remember that from last week? A friend that's willing to confront you when confrontation's needed. If you find a friend like that, they're the type of person that you would go to for wise counsel. They're the type of person that you know, okay, this person truly does have my back. This is the type of person that could watch my kids. This is the type of person that they can borrow money from me. This is the type of person that I'm 100% convinced, like, I can trust them because they have constantly shown me love. Those are the types of people we need to seek counsel from. Proverbs 27:6 says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of enemies. Here's what that verse is saying. You need to have a friend in your life that shows you so much love that even if you're going the wrong path, you're making the wrong decision, or you want a decision that you're making to be the right decision, that they're going to step in and say, I love you too much to allow you to do that. I love you too much to advise you to do that. See, but here's what happens. Here's what happens. And I know this happens because this happens to me. And it happens to mostly everybody I know. When we try to stay in ourselves, we make the decision. Then we hear things like, oh, you should ask other people their advice. So then we look at our whole social network, right? And we say, who will agree with this decision and who will disagree with it? So then we seek out the people in our life that we know that are gonna agree with us. And we stay away from the people we know that are going to give us wise counsel away from that. You ever do that? Have you ever done that? I want to find out what their wisdom is. But you know deep down, like they would make the same decision as me. They would handle this the same way as I would. But what you have to do is you have to seek out that loving friend that shows you love, that's willing to tell you no matter what. See, this type of friend has this huge benefit in your life. They're able to look at the decision as if they were you because they love you so much, but the benefit of being outside just enough that they're not emotionally charged about it. Remember I said that? Sometimes our emotions take over. So when you have that friend that loves you, they're kind of emotionally involved, but they're not charged up. So they're able to sit on the outside just enough to look and say, friend, I love you. And this is what you need to do. And I know it's hard, and I know you're emotionally charged. I know all those things. And my heart breaks for you in this situation. But being I'm your friend, I can see a little bit clearer than you can right now. Those are the friends that we all need in our lives. You know, if you don't have a friend like that, that's what you need to pray for. You need to pray that God will rise up friends like that. But I'll just tell you one little secret. Do you know how you find friends like that? Be a friend like that. Imagine what our church would look like, what our community would look like if we all committed to be that type of friend to people. Imagine the change that it could bring to our church and to the community if we all decided, you know what, I'm going to be that type of friend. And when you're that type of friend, you start to draw that type of person to yourself. You start to draw those people around you, and those are the people that you love the best because you know they love you the best. Because they're looking out for you. So we know we could trust Jesus. We know we could trust Jesus. But we can also trust friends that really, truly show us love. The last group of people that we want to trust is this. People that trust Jesus and know the word. Other Christians, but not only other Christians that know the word. And some would disagree on this point. Be like, what about the people that aren't Christians? I know a lot of people that are not Christians that are pretty smart. They're pretty wise. They make some good decisions. What about those people? And I'm not saying don't trust those people. I'm not saying don't trust those people. I'm not saying don't go to them for wisdom. You know, I mean, think about it this way. If you're unhealthy, you choose a physician. You go to the physician based upon their study and that expertise because you've heard they're a good physician. So you trust what they say. You don't expect your physician to open up the Bible and say, well, let me diagnose you now, okay? If you are looking to get your car fixed, you go to a mechanic. You don't expect them to open up the Bible and say, well, let's see what's wrong with your car. If you have a Christian doctor or a Christian mechanic, that's just a bonus, in my opinion. That's a bonus. But you know what? There's going to be people in your life that are wise in certain specific areas where decisions and issues will come up in your life that you need to talk to as well. But what I would suggest is this. When you're dealing with something, do not leave out or overlook people that trust Jesus and know the word. Because you know what? If you have a financial decision to make, yeah, maybe they're not a financial genius, they're not a great investor, but you know what? Finances are spiritual things, and you need to know what God's word has to say about finances. See how this works? So what you're going to do is you're going to seek out these people, the people that trust Jesus and know his words. Listen to what Proverbs 15:22 says. It says this, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So you know now how you're going through this. You're going through this decision or issue that you have to deal with. So you looked kind of like within and kind of dealt with some of those things. You looked to Jesus. Then you found some loving friends. But now the next step is you're going to look for some wise counsel. Why do plans succeed when there's many counselors? Well, I'll tell you. Multiple people, it takes more time. You realize that? Do you know that when you're making a decision on an issue, that time can actually be your friend? Proverbs 11:14 says this, where there is no guidance, people fall, but in the abundance of counselors, there's safety. You know what? There's safety in seeking out more advice from different people. There's safety in that because you get a different viewpoint. But not only that, you get more time to work on things. Now, I don't want to offend anybody who works at a car dealership now, okay? I don't want to offend anybody who works at a car dealership, but if you've ever went to buy a new car from a car dealership, it is my opinion, okay? This is my opinion. This is not gospel truth. They don't want you to leave until you buy a car, okay? If you leave, what happens? You have time. They might chase you. But you just may have a little bit of time to think, to talk to other people, to find another car dealership, to come to the conclusion that, you know what, this old beat-up car wasn't so bad after all. I don't think I'm going to buy a new car. They don't want that to happen because they want to make a sale, okay? They're not trying to sell you something junky. They're just trying to do their job. That's what they want to do. But you know what? As Christians, if we're seeking out godly individuals, that takes some time. You know, this is always so interesting to me. This happens to me a lot. At the front door, after service, somebody will inevitably come up to me and say, Pastor Mike, I really need to talk to you. Some of them want to talk right there, and then they cause the traffic jam, and it's just not a good scene, okay? I usually have another service to do. So I say something like this, and this might be, you might have heard me say this before. Email me or call me and set up something for you to come during the week. You know what normally happens? If someone actually does that, by the time they get to my office and talk with me, they have most of their problem or issue figured out. I'm just helping them validate that this is the right way to go. If I would talk to them at the front door, not only would they create a traffic jam, but we might be here till dinner time because they are basically wanting to wade through this problem. But here's what happened. Here's what happened. They were waiting to talk to me to make a decision because they were trying to seek out someone else for counsel. And during that time, they were weighing through each and everything. So it gave them time. You know what? If you have the time is your friend. Big life decisions. If you study anything in like the financial world, like as far as Christian finances, they say if you're going to make like a major purchase, pray on it at least 2 weeks. Why? You and I both know. How many times does your mind change in a day sometimes about a situation? Never mind 2 weeks. So what the scriptures are telling us here is the three groups. So we obviously are starting with ourselves, but then we go to the Lord and see what he has to say. Then we go to friends that we trust that are showing us love, that we know have our back. And then we go to those who love Jesus and know his word for some validation and some ideas and some wise counsel. So in life, in any situation that we're dealing with, we all need this type of wise counsel. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each person that's here, and I thank you for the wise counsel that you give us in your word. And I just pray, Lord, that as we look to your word and we look to trust Jesus with all the things that are going on in our life, I pray that we would also be a loving friend in other people's lives, and we would draw loving friends to us so that we can be helped in making decisions. Lord, and I pray that we would also seek out godly individuals that love you and love your word and know your word to help us as we navigate the difficult decisions and issues that come up in our life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.